Blog Talk Radio.
You are now entering the Ultimate Entrepreneur Experience, the I Am Unique podcast. We talk about business, lifestyle, fitness, health, and mindset. Everything that surrounds you being a successful business owner. Hosted by Joyce Truly, Unique Right, your DIY business coach. Teaching you about marketing and lifestyle. Let's get ready to make this money. Thank you for joining my podcast, and I appreciate you being here. Please like and share this podcast with everybody around.
All right, guys. Welcome to the I Am Unique podcast. Tonight's topic is the things you need to learn when you're building your brand, when you're branding yourself. There is a lot of things that you need to learn. There's a lot of things that are out there for you to be taught in building your brand. So these are those things that you need to learn when you're building your brand. Now, when y'all start building your brand, y'all are not experts about branding. It's not, most of you guys don't know what a great logo is, don't know how to pick out a color palette. Y'all know how to cook. Y'all know how to bake. Y'all know how to create the oil product. Y'all know how to do all of these things, right? But branding is a whole nother side of it. Building out your brand, building out who you're going to look like, who you want to be. Can you put your stuff in stores? Those are those things that will set you and put you in the place where you need to be. So tonight's topic, we're going to talk with Miss Sweet Lola Bakes about building her brand. She's a new brand here in Atlanta, Georgia. She sells sweet cookies and cakes, and she just bakes some awesome stuff, and I love those stuff that she bakes. So we're going to start talking about that. Then I'm going to break down some that's what we're going to have to on tonight. Then we're going to break down some basic tips about branding. What do you need to do to brand your business? What you should not do to brand your business? And to make sure that you understand, like, it's okay to ask for help when you're starting off. It's okay for people to know that you are new at this branding thing, because this is not what you're good at. This is not what you are known for. You're not a branding coach. So if your brand, when you first start off, is not quite right, it is okay, because you're just starting off and you can become a newer brand. So we're going to break all of that down. So when you're building out your brand, one, you need to come up with a very authentic and or gender-friendly name. So building out your brand, you want to come up with a name that caters to everybody. Or let's say this, it caters to your target audience. Hence why you need to know who you are doing your business for. Why are you building this brand? Who are you targeting? Who do you want to be a part of your business? Who do you want to buy your products? You know, everybody has a person who they want to buy their products, their ideal customer. You need to know what your ideal customer is first. Okay, we like to make oils. We like to do shea butters. We like to do lip glosses. Whatever it is out there, it's fine for you to like to do that, right? But you need to find out what your brand is and who your brand is targeting, okay? And that's how you come up with a great, catchy name. Now, the biggest issue that I have with a lot of brands is that they start off with, when they're building out their logos and coming out with their name, they have their personal name in it. I think I need you guys to think bigger than where you started today. When you're building out your brand, you need to think bigger than who you are right now. So where could you see your brand in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years? If your brand is named Do Right Baking, that's a good brand name. You can put that in any stores. Anybody can sell it. But if it's Mrs. Jones Cakes, I'm not saying that that's a bad name, but you now have to make Mrs. Jones. Who is Mrs. Jones? They're asking these questions, right? So making sure that you know why you are naming your brand these certain things. Making sure that it can be expandable, it can grow, it can, you know, people can buy a franchise of these. So making sure that that name is something that you like and that you will want out for the whole world to know. Now, if your name is Mrs. Jones and you don't want everybody in the world to know your name is Mrs. Jones, you might not want to name your business after you. The second part is your logo, your branding, your look, how you want people to perceive. Your branding should really target what you do and your target market. So what do you sell? It needs to look like what you sell. It needs to feel like what you sell. It needs to say what you sell. Now, if you're having a large brand and you know what you want to expand it to larger companies, a large company with multiple products, you might not want to call it RA's, you know, HA's cookies when you plan to have donuts and ice cream and everything else. So I know you guys are like, I just started making cookies. I didn't know that I was going to have all of this other stuff build up. But it's okay. You're allowed to have all of this stuff. You just need to make sure that your brand speaks for it, okay? That your brand says what it needs to say. It speaks upon what it needs to speak to. So your brand really needs to stand out for what you're going, where you are now, and where you're going in the future. If you look at larger brands out there, they have very simple, simplistic names that say a whole lot of nothing. You know, FedEx. Means going fast, exiting, leaving, FedEx, UPS. You know what? That's an acronym. The I Am Unique Right. See, I love my brand because I Am Unique Right can be so many things. I can make it to so many things. Sweet Lola Bakes. That means Sweet Lola Bakes means that she can bake anything as long as it's being baked. So that could be bread, cookies, toast, whatever she chooses to bake. It could be something that she bakes, cakes, pies, Sweet Lola Bakes. That's a great name. Let's see, IBM for computers. That's probably another acronym for something. You know, using things like that help you build your business to the next level and so that you can scale it. And you can diversify your business. So if there's something that you wanted to change in your business, something that you wanted to, you know, I don't want to bake cookies no more. I just want to focus on bread because that's what my market is calling me for. So with the name Sweet Lola Bakes, then that means she could still focus on whatever she wants to that's good with bakes. You know what I mean? So those things are ways you can do it. And so if you want a brand that can go for miles and miles and miles long, you need to make sure that it is uniform to be able to grow. You can do whatever you want to with it. You add an extra word at the bottom. I Am Unique Right Salon. I Am Unique Right T-shirts. I Am Unique Right Podcast. I Am Unique Right Marketing. I Am Unique Right Branding. I Am Unique Right Underwear. I can be anything. I Am Unique Right Ice Cream. I can be anything, you know? sex toys, anything I want to be. So that's why I named it myself, because whatever it is, it's unique, right? Ha ha. But anyway, get to a further note. Now, when you're going into coloring your brand and picking out your brand colors, your brand needs to speak to the audience. Your colors need to have that vibe. It needs to feel like something. My colors are blue and gray. Why did I pick blue and gray? Because they're calming. They're relaxing. They're like, you know, pipe down. It ain't that serious. We got you covered. I want you to relax. I want you to just be at ease when you're building your brand. When you have brighter colors, like it, learn the research behind your colors. Red means eat, hungry, passion, love. You know what I mean? Yellow means relaxing. So each color or energy, yellow is energy. It means sunshine. It means bright. It means boom, boom, boom. Pink has a whole nother level of brand. Yellow, black, all of these colors have different brands. A lot of people do purple, royalty, you know, passion, gold, you know, stuff like that. But don't limit your brand to one demographic of people. Make sure that your brand can be sold across multiple platforms to multiple people with whatever you call it and however you put it. So those are things that you have to make sure that your brand, what your brand is saying, understands the people who are in your clientele. Now, I'm going to break down logos and simplifying your logos. A logo needs to be something that it can, you can cut it out on paper, and each element can be defined. So if I cut my logo out on paper, the I, the N, the Q, the A, the E, the microphone, the word podcast, if I cut that out on paper, you could scramble it up and still know what it is and put it together and understand it. When you're building out your brand, you need to make sure that it is simple. Well, your logo needs to be simple. You have never seen a Fortune 500 company that has a picture of a guitar and a picture of Hard Rock Cafe only has the guitar, but doesn't have a whole bunch of stuff behind it. Make sure it's what I call line art. If people can't understand your logo in black and white, then your logo means nothing. Does that make sense? Make sure people can understand your logo in any color that you put it. If I put my logo in black, you'll know what it means. You know what it says. You know who I am. If I put it in blue, I put it in my color pattern, the blue and the gray, you'll know what it means. So make sure your logo has no more than my max three colors. I'm a two-color person. Max two colors. But three is the max of your logo. It should only have two colors. It should not have gradients. It should not have all of this extra color effects. Do you know why I say this? And the reason why I say these things are because when you're trying to get these logos reprinted, re-put on, that means your cost of doing business is 8 times more expensive than it would be if it was just one color. Or you can make your logo one color or two colors. So if I wanted to get my I Am Unique Right logo put on a t-shirt, that's two colors for screen press. That means it's $25 per color, per screen, per burn. So that means my startup cost for that shirt is $50. Now, if I want to be cheap and I want to do one color, I could do it for $25 at most ink shops. So doing this $25 for the setup fee, and then it's like $2, $3 per shirt. And you just go zoom, 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 zoom. It's simple math. It's simple, easy. Setup is simple. Everything is simple. But when you have three and four colors and 18 shapes and all of these different things, do you know your startup cost can start off at $100 to $300? Then we got a call of insurance. You ain't even got insurance for that. This is just your setup cost. So think about all of that when you're building your brand. Simplicity is key. Making sure that your brand says what it needs to say, is targeting the customer that you want, and looks how you feel, and looks how you want to be branded. I want to be a Fortune 500 company. I want to be a large, you know, marketing logistics company. So it teaches people about marketing all over the world. Have other coaches out here teaching the I Am Unique right way. And the cool part about my logo is, yes, it is my name, but guess what I could do? I could take the W off. The W could be taken off, and it still says the same name. So it's not my name. It says I Am Unique, right? Question mark. It is a sentence. It is saying what it needs to say, and it makes you feel as if I'm talking about you. So you're unique, right? And I'm unique, right? So making sure when you're building your brand, when you're doing things of this nature, that you have these things set in place, making sure that it's catchy. People will remember it. People will want to see it. People, when they, you want it to be a household name. You know what I mean? So those are the things that you have to put in your brand to make it stand out. Hello, everybody who just joined tonight. Oh, goodness. We're talking about branding and branding your logo, building out your brand, making sure your brand says what you need to say, regardless to what your product is. This broadcast has been brought to you by Pookie. If you have not picked up a copy of this book, or seen it on Amazon, YouTube, or soon on Audible, pick up your copy of By Pookie. And if you need help getting organized and you're building out your brand and building out who you are, you need to have one of my planners, my business planner planners. Make sure you grab one of these. It actually teaches you how to write a business plan. Teaches you how to clear your head, how to plan for your business, how to budget for your business, you know, how to set goals and social media goals. Like, this book has everything. It comes out quarterly. We're working on the digital one. It's kind of thick. I love it thick like this because you don't lose it. But a lot of people don't. But if you don't like a thick planner, I have my first planner, my simple, stupid planner. You know, it's very thin, only 100 pages, you know, straight to the freaking point, straight to the point. Make sure you document what the things that you need to do. But with all that being said, is understanding how you create your name, how to build out your brand, how to find the colors that speak for your brand, how to create a unique personality in your brand. And then at this point, as we're building out your brand to a larger company, you need to create your marketing dominating position, your unique selling position in your brand. So why do people want to use your brand? Why do people want to come to you? Who are you and why would they want to be a part of it? And these are things that you need to always have in your business. But these are the things that you want to tell people. What do? I create a hair growth product that helps stimulate your roots in your scalp and make your hair grow. Do you have issues with hair growth? Do you want to grow more hair? Do you want your hair to be softer and healthier? These are the things that I provide. This is what happens when you use my oils. Okay? If I have ice cream, I'm selling ice cream to you guys. Why do you want my ice cream? It is a vegan ice cream. It has no dairy. It has no nuts. Ooh. Ah, made out of coconut milk or oat milk. It can be, if you get a good line, might be gluten-free. You know, it's flavorful. It's tasty. It's awesome. You know, your t-shirts. My t-shirts, my I Am Unique, my Be Unique brand t-shirts are clever. renditions of words that people want to say, things that they feel, how they look, things that they want to project out are reasons why I create a unique style for the unique person. This is how you create that unique selling point. I want everybody out there to be different. Everybody's brand is different. So why is your brand different? Why is your brand different? What do you do to make your brand different? What can you say about your brand that is different than any other brand? Because there are 1,000 people that have hair oils out there. There are 1,000 people who have shea butters. There's 1,000 people who have all kinds of things out there. So what makes yours so different than everybody else's? What kind of love, what kind of heart do you put in your brand to put it out there? What distinguishes you from everybody else? It's not about the product, it's about the story. So making sure that your brand has a great story and you're telling that story. The reason why I am Unique Right Brand is because I have been an individual all my life. Been different, stand out from the crowd. Listen to my name. I'm unique. 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 This means one of a kind. So I want everybody to be one of a kind. I want your brand to be one of a kind. I want the things that you're doing and saying to be one of a kind. That is why I created the I Am Unique Right brand. Because everybody is individualized. Every person out there does what they do. I don't care how many people you have, UPS, you have FedEx, and you have USPS, right? And there's other shipping companies out there, right? We know these are the three most popular. What do all three of those do? Ship your packages. Why do you like one more than the other? Why don't you like one more than the other? Is it reliability? Is it usefulness? Is it customer service? What is it? You know, what makes you like these things, these companies better? Are it the services they have? What does it do? You got Walmart, you got Target, you got the grocery store. Why do you shop at these places? What makes you shop at any of these places? They all sell similar items. They all, you can buy soap from all of them. You can buy toilet paper from all of them. You can buy, you know, tampons from all of them. You buy condoms from all of them. What difference does it make to you if you buy it? Does Walmart have better prices than Target or better prices than the grocery store? Because they all have the same brands. So what makes them different? Why do you go to a Publix versus a Kroger's or a OLG or a Giant's or, you know, why do you go to these stores? A Sam's Wholesale versus Costco. Do they have different stuff? Yes, no, maybe. Why? Why do you use T-Mobile versus Sprint versus AT&T? Or, well, AT&T versus T-Mobile now versus Verizon. What is your purpose? They got all the same kind of phones. It's a phone, is a phone, is a phone. But each one of them says different things about their services. So we're going to bring on Miss Lola now and talk to her about her brand and what she created and why. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Unique?
I am awesome. I am awesome. So introduce yourself and then tell people what you do.
Well, my name is Lisa Kato, and I am owner, baker, purveyor of sweet treats. I have a complete Lola, and we do baked goods using mostly, as much as possible, locally, local ingredients, locally produced ingredients, GMO, non-GMO, organic, hormone-free, basically as holistic as we can, holistic baked sweet treats.
Nice, nice. So what made you get it? Well, okay, let's start from the building your brand. Why did you call it Sweet Lola Bakes?
That's like my favorite story. That's how it all began. So my grandmother was an immigrant. She was from the Philippines. And so in Tagalog, most Filipinos may call their grandmother Lola. It's actually what Lola means. And she passed away, in 2018, which is actually when I first was kind of getting the idea together of doing baked goods. I used to do prepared meals for clients, and I was getting into doing some baked goods and decided to start a cookie company. At the time, I was just doing cookies. And when she passed away, it just seemed fitting to honor her. I have grandkids and they call me Lola. So, you know, we were having a conversation with my siblings and we were talking about our sweet Lola. And I thought, that's it. That's perfect. That's the brainstorm lightning bolt moment. Like, this is what the company should be. It should be honoring our grandmother, but also honoring the idea of everyone's grandmother, everyone who ever went to their grandma's house and it was always a place of comfort, or she always had some baked good that she had for you. I wanted to be that for my grandkids. So I thought, you know, I want to always have baked good, but I want to do it responsibly. I've also been a preschool teacher for 20 years before doing this. So I knew a lot about I had a lot of relationships with parents, a lot of conversations about having a hard time with controlling sugar for their kids and a lot of artificial ingredients and colorings and junky stuff like that. So I wanted to do something, offer something that was responsible and holistic, but at the same time honored just about anybody's grandmother. So a lot of our sweet treats are influenced by different cultures. Like I make a babka that's actually a Mexican chocolate babka. So if your grandmother is, you know, if your grandmother was Booby, or if your grandmother was Abuelita, you know, you could find something from a distant memory, some fond memory in some of our baked goods.
Nice.
Sorry, that was a long answer.
No, that was great. That was awesome. I love it. We were just talking about that your brand, every brand has to have a story. Because anybody can bake cookies. I mean, there's thousands of cookie companies out here, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Why is yours different, which was our unique selling position? Like, why is yours different? So it's more about being the organic love that has been brought to your baking, including the organic ingredients, including the love behind it. Because when your grandmother baked, there was a lot of this stuff that's out now that they did not use. I mean, like chocolate syrup. No, we didn't have chocolate syrup. You got chocolate and you got milk, or you got chocolate and maybe something else, water or whatever, to make syrup, to make it chocolate syrup. We didn't have Hershey's chocolate syrup growing up. At least I did.
Right.
I mean, not in the beginning. You know what I mean? There's certain things now have so much artificialness in it that you don't even know what you're eating anymore.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I want to take it back to, you know, I don't know about the younger generation now, but I can say when I was younger, exactly what you said. The ingredients of things, we knew what they were. You could read them. There were five. There were four. It wasn't like much else beyond that. So. Right.
No preservatives. Things went bad. Like, okay, we didn't eat this pie in 3 days. It will be growing a fungus on top of it. Little furry stuff on top of it. Now you can keep stuff in your refrigerator for months, and sometimes never grows anything.
Yeah, absolutely. The bread, all of that. And I had done a lot of research and reading up on just healthier eating, period, and that's definitely, you know, when it occurred to me, it's like, you know, there's a lot of my aunt has celiac disease, so I'm not calling anyone out about the whole gluten thing. But there's a lot of, I make some cookies that are gluten-free, but there's a lot of people who can't digest gluten. And I think it's kind of wild. It's kind of crazy because when I was growing up, I had never heard such a thing. I think it speaks a lot on what's happened to our food and how artificially it's been prepared and things have been added and it's been manipulated and overprocessed. And so now we can't even digest it. We can't even digest something that we used to be able to have, you know, not any problem consuming. So I think that speaks a lot. And I know that there is a big movement of people that are concerned about what their kids eat. And I just figure I'm all on board about sugar. I am not an anti-sugar person. I am not really an anti-butter person, but I think things in moderation, and I think that kids need to have things in moderation for sure, and as holistic as possible.
Right.
And I keep thinking about kids, but I think this is where this kind of started for me. It was more about offering a healthy treat for kids, but honestly, most of my clients have been adults, and I think adults love the idea too. Adults like cookies.
Right. They do. But that is the real deal about it. Like, there is so much processed stuff. I remember going to my grandmother's sister's house out there in South Carolina. We went on the farm. We ate the work. I mean, she had a big thing of lard. She had butter, oil. She had, you know, everything was fried or, excuse me, draped in something kind of buttery, oily.
Mm-hmm.
One, they weren't obese. Most of them were not obese. Two, mm-hmm. they didn't die of cancers and all of these other problems. They died of natural causes. I mean, mm-hmm. or old age. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Once they got older, these are things that they died of. We didn't have all these cavities. My grandfather never went to the dentist and never had a cavity.
That's saying something.
Right. So my thing is like, we're putting all of this stuff, like, we need to get back to the basics. And I even know that the mm-hmm. clean food that we eat is really not clean because a lot of it is genetically modified. We don't know where it mm-hmm. came from or it's been injected mm-hmm. with so many bad things. That's why now being a vegan or eating gluten and all of that is the problem. I don't believe, well, we use corn in a different way. We didn't use corn to bake like they did. We did cornbread, but corn now is a preservative in everything. Corn starch.
Oh, but corn is in everything. Yeah, corn syrup, corn starch, corn. Yeah, we overuse the corn corn product.
Right.
Cornbread is fine, but
I don't think I think that was part of where the gluten allergy came from. It's not really, I mean, it is a possible. I don't know the science behind this. You know, don't talk about me. Don't bash me. I'm not no nutritionist. I'm just thinking of, mm-hmm. of logical stuff that has happened over the years. So over the years,
right.
when we introduced corn to everything and started putting corn in everything, corn has now been designed to not even process in our bodies.
Mm.
And again, and a lot of people have that allergy, which is one part that where the gluten comes from. Because I don't really think that a lot of that is actual a gluten allergy. I just think it's the chemicals that we put in things that create our body to, you know, react towards stuff. Give mm-hmm. me an example. Like, I stopped eating chicken years ago. I'm like year 5, 6, 7 years in and stopped eating chicken, right? So
okay.
Before I stopped eating chicken, I couldn't eat beef. I couldn't eat any red meat. Everything would bloat my stomach up. I would look like I was pregnant. The minute the first year off of eating chicken, the bloating stopped, leg cramps stopped, my allergies have allergies this time of year, oh my gosh, I still have some of them, but they're not as bad. Before I had so much congestion in my body, I couldn't smell or taste anything for 3 months of the year.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Right, that's how bad my allergies were. And then I wouldn't want to go outside during the springtime because my eyes would be red and I would eat, I'd be dehydrated because I'm taking all these antihistamines because I can't breathe if I don't, can't sleep. And after I stopped eating chicken, all of those things stopped for me. Now I'm not telling everybody about chicken, some chicken's good for some people, it just doesn't work out great for me. So... And
you know, if anything, I bet there's something in, see, the thing is we pump our, the USA, the chicken industry, poultry industry, they pump a lot of stuff into the chickens that we're not aware of. I would just say, if I don't care for chicken either, but if you're going to eat chicken or any kind of meat or anything, know where your food comes from. I think that's the first step. Know exactly where your food comes from and be aware of how it's treated and what it's treated with, because that matters. Especially genetically over time, I think that matters. And we just don't know half the stuff. That could be where the allergies are coming from, more so than the actual, you know, chicken itself.
Right.
Definitely. If you're having allergies, I would say local honey. Local honey, local honey. I tell everybody, local honey. I learned that from someone, and I don't even remember, but local honey will cure your allergies. It's a real thing.
But you know what was so funny about that? I used to do local honey and local bee pollen. I couldn't eat it because it would trigger my allergies.
Oh, my goodness. You have it bad then. Yeah.
That's how bad I have
Wow.
They're much better now. You see me now, like, I'm a little congested. You can kind of hear a little congestion in me, but I'm not nowhere near what I used to be. But I used to buy bee pollen from the how I come out, because I met her at a local farmer's market in Atlanta. At Ponce City Market, if y'all are in here, she's there every Wednesday from 4 to 8 at this local farmer's market. So if y'all are in Atlanta, make sure y'all check her out. But I used to go to farmer's markets like that or local growers and buy honey and buy bee pollen. And every time I would take a spoonful of it, I would start, my nose would start running, my eyes would start itching. Like, I was that sensitive to it. Now it's not that bad anymore. But, again, it was all a draw effect from where I started from. So when
Where are you from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. That's not that far, yeah.
You
got it bad.
All my life. We had the dogs. I'm allergic, according to the test that I would take, is I'm allergic to anything outside. Everything that grows is not anything that produces a flower or grows, I'm allergic to. I'm allergic to grass. I can't lay in grass because I'll break out in welts.
Oh,
it's bad. It's very, very bad.
That's bad.
This is a bad time
of year for you.
Yeah, but I've gotten a lot better. Like, it's not that my allergies are gone. They're not gone because they're still here. But they're not as, they don't affect me as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think over time maybe it's going to get better. It just might, I don't know, it might take you. How long have you been here in Georgia?
22 years.
Oh, no, you've been here long enough. I don't know. I grew up here, so I didn't even used to have allergy problems, and I grew up here. That's something that's happened more in the last maybe 10 years or so. I don't know what's happened locally, but it's crazy now. But I didn't used to have problems at all. So maybe it has more to do with the local horticulture. I've heard that there are different trees and things that people are planting now for the aesthetics that aren't indigenous to here, and it's probably making the pollen that much worse for all of us. Could be that.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about your brand and some of your favorite items that you create.
Well, I took off some time when I first initially started the business, and I was basically just doing cookies. I took off a couple of years, restructured, spent a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly am I trying to offer. And I really like to try different things. So as it is right now, it's a growing, I'm saying all that to say it's a growing menu. I'm always looking for something that I can, some kind of fusion I can do, like I said, like about the babka and the Mexican chocolate, or my husband is Japanese, for example. So I've gone to Japan. We go every year, and I've learned a lot about the Japanese palate and how they approach sweets and desserts there, and it's a lot less sweet than what we like here in the South, in the U.S., but I've started fusing some of those flavors, so things like matcha or something called anko, which is a sweet bean paste. A lot of people may have had that in other Asian cuisine, like Chinese or Chinese, basically. But it's the same idea. It's a sweet bean paste. So I take that and I'll fuse it with bread and sweet rolls. I'm a Southern girl, though. I am from here. I have some of the influence of my grandmother's Filipino heritage, but I'm also a Southern girl. So, you know, I try to incorporate a lot of Southern ingredients and things like pecan sandies or sweet potato pie. I mean, these are the things that I grew up with. So it's all about fusing all of those influences and trying to offer something, like you were saying earlier, what would make my cookies or my baked goods any different from anybody else's. I'm always looking for the thing or the ingredient or the twist that's going to make it a little different. Right now, I think the biggest seller I have are my favorite thing are my cinnamon rolls. They're pecan cinnamon rolls. I also pull a lot from my childhood, so I do the pecan sandy because my dad, that was his favorite cookie. He passed away when I was younger, when I was in high school, and he was diabetic. So this is a low-sugar, gluten-free cookie. And like I said, it's his favorite cookie, but my mom's favorite cookie is coconut macaroon. And like I said, I grew up with sweet potato pie and pecan cinnamon rolls being in the South. So I made my own pecan cinnamon roll. They're vegan. And what I love about this product is that people are shocked that they're vegan, and I'm always trying to tell people, you know, it's like just because it says vegan, that's not a bad thing. It's plenty of ways that you can make baked goods without using dairy, and they're always surprised, and they're a hot seller, and so it's really become my favorite thing. I will literally sit there and eat like three of them one after another. I try not to. So it's definitely my favorite thing that we produce right now.
Wow. So the crazy part about that is, like, my favorite cookies when I grew up were ginger snaps.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
I love those.
I love ginger snaps. And only like, the vanilla Oreo, not the vanilla cookies with the creamy stuff in it, not chocolate Oreos, so I'm not a fan of chocolate. But I've always with the nice cookie and my other oatmeal raisin nut cookies. When I was a 4-H,
yeah,
to make some bomb oatmeal raisin nut cookies.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's exactly, you just bringing up some of my childhood favorite cookies, and that's exactly the other side of what I was trying to do, is like, what are those childhood things that we remember that were our favorite cookies, and how can we bring that back, but offer that in a more holistic way, you know, like the vanilla Oreo, but, you know, how can we do that, but it's no artificial ingredients, and that Little Debbie, remember that? The chewy oatmeal cookie with the sandwich cookie?
Oh,
my God.
Favorite.
That was my favorite.
Oh,
yes.
The real one.
I'm working on that. I'm working on a recipe for that.
Not these sugar-filled ones, Little Debbie's that they have now. Little Debbie's have changed over the years. Or something has changed. I used to eat those oatmeal cream cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they were, but oh, my gosh, I used to love those. Because the other thing about my allergy is I'm allergic to milk as well.
Milk
breaks me out in a rash. So hence why I don't like chocolate. you know, so certain mm-hmm. things I couldn't eat that were, like I never liked chocolate chip cookies because chocolate was in the milk and then I'd break out after I ate it. So I never mm-hmm. was able to eat it. Like, what is it? Bars of, what do you call those things?
The Nutter Butter. Were they Nutter Butters? No, what were they?
Oh, I love Nutter Butters.
They were chocolate covered. They were wafer cookies with chocolate cover, and they were peanut butter. I can't think of what they were called. Is that what you're talking about?
That's not Nutter Butters. But any kind of candy bar I couldn't eat, or I wasn't supposed to eat because I'll break out. And my other default with sugar is that it puts me to sleep.
Exactly. I think most people have a sugar crash. That's true.
I eat ice cream, I go to sleep. So eating sugar, it doesn't give me any kind of energy. It just knocks me all the way. It puts me to sleep. I can eat I can eat a whole thing. If I eat cookies or something like that, all it's going to do is put me to sleep.
Yeah, you have a sugar sensitivity for sure.
Yeah, so those are the reasons why you're like, because she tries to sell me cookies all the time. I don't want no cookies, because the only time I'm going to eat the cookies is to go to sleep. Or if I eat the cookies, it's going to make me sleepy. So then when I get sleepy, what happens when you eat cookies and go to sleep? You get fat. So
it's a slippery slope. It's a domino effect. I hear you.
So
well,
like,
that's why I do.
I'm not working towards.
Well, I can't. it's so funny when I get people and they come and I feel like they're drawn when they see the sweets. They're drawn to it and they literally stand there and look at it and say, "Yeah, but I don't eat that," or "Yeah, I can't eat that," or "I'm on a diet." They stand there, and so I'm not gonna push sugar on anybody. I think I feel conflicted a lot of times because I do believe in good nutrition, and I'll stand there and I'll feel like, am I doing something bad by pushing sugar on people? I mean, I say everything in moderation, but that's why I do try to offer healthy options too. I have a cookie called a Trailblazer, and so it's kind of like, there's no sugar. It's sweetened by dates and a little bit of honey, and it's got lots of nuts and things in it that are for, like, maybe if you are into hiking or biking, it's something you might have on you. And I'm starting to do more savory things also because everybody doesn't want sugar. Everybody doesn't like sugar. Everybody can't do sugar. So even though it's called Sweet Lola, I'm definitely branching out into other things, less sweet things, more healthy options, I guess you could say, but always some vegan and some gluten-free options too.
Right. And all
I feel
of that
so
is
conflicted.
But if you can figure out how to make sweets that are not technically sweet, that would be sweet and awesome. Or like,
you know,
using,
that is possible.
Yeah, I mean, like I like your pecan sandy. Her pecan sandies remind me of my, you know, back in the day you get the little packs of pecan sandies. I used to love those. So those are like shortbread cookies or whatever, but with the pecans, it has a little bit of sweetness, but not a lot. I like stuff like that. So that's just my I'm just pressing all my little personal stuff on you right now. But those are things. And I love the way you're doing market research right now on your brand because you're trying to figure out where you want to fit in the market. And when you're branding yourself and creating new things about your brand, that's how you really have to kind of, you know, test the market, see what the some people want. What are the people saying about it, you know?
Absolutely. Actually, after every market, during market, I'll take notes. I love to have conversations, and that's a great marketing right there, I have to say. I think a good amount of my sales come from conversations and connecting with people. And I'll have conversations with people. I'll take notes. And then at the end of market, later at night when I'm home and I'm relaxing, I'll look over my notes and I'll think about, you know, customers were saying, hey, I'd like to see this, or asking questions about that, and I'll brainstorm about what to do next or what I could offer. I'd love to come up with something. I would love to interact with customers more. I'm learning more about Instagram and connecting with customers. I think that's a big deal, too, and trying to get feedback on, you know, it's, everybody's not going to love what you do. Everybody's not going to love your product. And I would say if you feel, if you stand behind it, if you feel it's a good product and you're getting a lot of feedback, I would say, you know, stick with that. Everybody's just not going to love it. But maybe that's an opportunity to think of something else that this customer that didn't like this particular item, think about something else, why they didn't like it, and maybe there's something else I can come up with that will grab that customer next time. I'm really learning that connection and connecting with people is going, hopefully, I believe, going to be the key to hopefully having a successful year. This is only my second year doing markets and being out there, so.
That's awesome, though. But one, I love your branding. I love your logo, and I love what your story is behind your branding and logo. And
thank you.
It allows, with your brand, it allows you to be who you want to be, you know, per se. So you can do bread, you can go cookies, you can go pies, you can go cakes, you can go whatever, but you can define that as you're doing your marketing research. And I always tell people within their first 5 years of their business, that is market research. You need to figure out what people need, what people are missing, what people want more of out there in the industry. Because even though, like, there's another lady out at the market who sells cakes, right? I don't go by her table. Yes, they're supposed to be gluten-free vegan cakes. Don't really care. I don't eat cake like that. I even bought one from her one time just because I try to support everybody at the market, but it got bad. It was bad in my refrigerator. That's how bad. I just might as well have just handed her money. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to eat it. But that's why I went. But the cool part when I met you, you know, I was already inside your table when I walked up to you the first time. I was like, you really don't have anything that I really go for. And then we started talking, and you made, you said, what about pecan sandies? And I was like, you know what? I do like those because they're not really sweet. And you got a sale. I'm like, that could be anybody. You know what I mean? And that's one. The educating people about your brand. You know what I mean? Educating people about what you have, because all I see is cookies on your table or big looking pastries. Now, I'm not going to lie. Her stuff looks delicious, and I would buy it just to pitch off of somebody else's, but I'm not going to eat it all. So it's like, unless I have somebody to buy it for, I'm not going to buy it. It's like a waste for me. And I don't want to waste the product for somebody who might like it a little bit better, more than I do. You know? So I'm going to talk to you. But then, guess what she did? Guess what she did? She made some bread. And I'm not even a big bread eater, but she had some stuff on top of that bread that I was like, and you had the goat cheese, because if you used the regular cheese, I probably wouldn't have bought it. Because I can't eat goat cheese. I just can't eat cow's milk.
Okay.
So I'm allergic to the milk.
Did you eat it?
Not yet.
Okay. I was looking for some feedback. Okay.
I will. I promise. I'll give you some feedback. I'm going to maybe tomorrow morning, because I'll eat it in the morning.
Okay.
I can work it off before night.
Yep, that'd be a good breakfast.
Right. So the only other thing is she put some hot, make it spicy, but again, not everybody likes spicy, but I'm a spicy girl. I know some jalapenos on my bad boy. I am too,
but I'm also learning that, you know, I don't want to alienate too many people right off. So, you know, some people aren't, I don't know, but yeah, I hear you. I almost put spice all over that thing because I'm a spicy person too.
Right, and I'm an herbs too. So when you were talking about the thyme, and you know, put on as many herbs, you know, thyme, basil, oregano. You know, I love my fresh herbs. So all of that is freaking awesome to me. So those are the you know, those are that's just my opinion again. But I appreciate you being on here. Can you tell everybody where they can find you? If it's not at this at the Park City Market, where are you finding? Where's your social media? Do you have a website?
So I'm still pretty new in the trenches. I'm working on a website, but I can be found at on Instagram at Sweet Lola Bakes on Instagram and Facebook. I do take orders. I will be posting menus more regularly. I do take orders through my Instagram. You can DM me. You can send me a direct message. I currently am doing weekly at Pont City Market on Wednesdays. And every other week at East Atlanta Village Market, those are the CFM markets, the community farmers markets. I have the pecan sandies, and I have a miso peanut butter cookie dough. You can just get the cookie dough and bake your own cookies at home if you order through Garnish and Gather, which is a local meal prep company. But cookie dough is also something I'm going to start offering at the markets soon. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm still working on the website, always building, always trying to build. Help me build by supporting local business. Help me build, support the local markets. I'll be there.
But if you need any help with anything marketing-wise or have any ideas or whatever or want to run anything past me, feel free. This is what I do. I brand people. I market people. And I make your brand who you are. That's why my brand is called I Am Unique, right? So I make your brand unique, right?
I love it. I just really looked at your page, and I noticed a lot of wonderful quotes you have. And there's a lot about consistency. And I just have to say, that's been my motto lately that I've learned, is that someone posted something once that said, you know, how do you stay motivated? And the meme or the GIF, whatever it was, I don't stay motivated. I stay consistent. And I'm not always motivated. Sometimes it's hard as hell to get up and go out and, you know, do what you're doing. Because I'm the only person right now until my business grows. But I stay consistent. I've learned that just get up every day, put your foot forward, keep going, and stay consistent, and everything will catch up. And you'll eventually find yourself exactly where you want to be. That's what I believe.
Yes, and that is how I am. My two things are consistency and confidence. Have the consistency and have the confidence to put yourself out there and to say what you're going to say, be who you want to be. If you only want to sell pecan sandies for the rest of your if you only want to do all pecan products, that's the hey.
Yeah.
You know, you can do all of that. And that is just your brand. So those are things like stay consistent. Once you get where you want to be, oh, you're right. Everybody's not going to love you. But the world is not designed for everybody to love you. You only need, you know, a couple of thousand people to like you. That's all you really need to be a patient. You know?
Absolutely.
If you max 10,000 people that buy from you repeatedly every week or every day, then you know, $10 a piece, $20 a piece, every other day from now, you're going to make the money that you desire. You know?
I think it's an energy thing, too. I go to market every time. I'm like, oh, nobody's going to want to buy my stuff today. Nobody's going to come. And like today, I wasn't in a good, really mood. I had one of the best days and met some incredible people. And so what I'm learning is that, you know what, it can be an energy thing. It's an energy exchange. You've got to give good energy. And you get it back. So if you love you, if I love me and I'm confident, then other people are going to come and love me too. And I can't worry about the others that aren't going to. But guess what? Enough people did. Enough people do at times that, you know, you just don't feel like a failure. So I say there, love yourself and be confident, and you will draw that energy to you.
Exactly. And I love that. I'm glad you had an awesome day, and I'm glad that it worked out for you. But like I said, your energy, you have great energy, though. Like, your energy, even though when I did not think I was going to buy anything from your table, I walked over and I was like, oh, let me see. You know, you held a conversation. You were interacting. You made me want to be, you made me me want to buy something even though I didn't know what to buy. You know what I mean? I want to buy something.
Yeah, you were already like, I don't eat sweets. I don't eat sweets. I was like, oh, okay. Well, let's just talk. How you doing? Let's just exchange some energy. You're not going to buy anything from me, and that's cool. But, yeah, I remember that day. That's funny. That's how it goes. That's how it works.
I'm shooting city per se, but my own dislikes on her. And she was like, it's okay. You know, you can still talk to me. And the thing is, like, that's what will get somebody to buy or try something, even if they don't. Because I have a lot of people in my circle who like sweets. So even though I may not buy it for myself, I might buy it for somebody else. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
And that's now because I like you, you know? And so I buy from majority of the people I buy are things that are reasons because I like. Now, if you don't have nothing that I like or will or willing to eat, then you got to wait till I got a guest over or the holidays when I'm trying to, you know, cater to a bunch of different people. But other than that, I think brands are built, like you said, by energy, consistency, and confidence. You're there every week. You have a smile on your face. You're happy. You're go lucky. You know, and your energy, even though bad day energy, good day energy, your energy is still good. You know what I mean?
I try. You got to try. You got to put it out there, even if you're not getting it back. You got to just try to put it out there.
Right. So everybody, make sure you follow her on Instagram. If y'all are in the Atlanta, Georgia area, in the city on a Wednesday, or at the East Point on whatever day, follow her.
Or East Atlanta, yep.
Follow her IG so you'll know where she's at. And if you like Sandy's or like cakes, cookies, her cookies look delicious, though. They do look good. I mean, they do, but...
Thank you.
And that bread, I can't wait. I'm very excited about that. So,
well, I want some feedback. I love feedback. Feedback helps you grow, right? So
yes.
Let me know.
Yes. I will. I'm good at giving feedback, even if I don't like it. I mean,
Thank you, Unique. Thank you for having me on. You know, I was a little apprehensive. I'm a little shy, believe it or not. but I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and gain my own confidence and reaffirm my own confidence and talk to your listeners. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That is awesome. I hope everybody supports and grows her business if you're listening. I will send you a link. It is on YouTube. It will be on Blog Talk Radio, it's on Spotify, it's on streaming live now on Instagram and Facebook. So we're going to get you out there, man. We're going to let people know about you and, you know, make you Insta-famous soon, okay? So y'all.
Well, thank you.
Like her
page. I appreciate the support.
You know what? It's graduation season. Buy some cookies for these kids. They like the cookies. They're healthy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I got this for, you know, graduation. Father's Day is coming up. What dad doesn't like a good sweet? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I do special orders. We can work something out.
And find your dad's favorite cookie that he hasn't had in years. Imagine what he would feel if you had that. Yay. And whoever else, you know, prom,
yeah,
whatever y'all got out there. You know, support, you know, black businesses, ethnic businesses, all of the above. Just support. Show the love. It's a great product.
Kids' birthdays, bridal showers. I do all that.
Yes, I love it. So I appreciate you being on here. And thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Y'all, follow, like, subscribe to my channel. Make sure you guys follow and like and buy from Miss Sweet Lola Bakes on IG, and Sweet Lola Bakes, I think, is the same on Instagram. Please share this with anybody who would love to listen to this. It's about, you know, sharing your story, sharing your brand, finding ways to connect with the people out there. Be confident, be consistent, and get to that some money. Talk to you guys later. This is Aya Monique Wright, your DIY business coach, signing off today in Studio U. Bye.